Om Shanti. Today we are very lucky to have Brother Charlie with us. He's the director of Brahma Kumaris Center in Australia, and he's been practicing Raja Yoga meditation for 37 years. Am I right? Yeah. And he's one of our very special brothers who's so caring and loving, who's going to share today on the topic of value of Srimad. So I would like to thank you on behalf of everyone, and we also welcome you. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. And special thank you to Sister Dati for her lovely welcome. I think, as most of you know, that Daddy will be joining us at 7 o'clock. Did you know that? No. I didn't either, actually. I was told 5 minutes ago. But Daddy, I think, as you know, she's been staying below, but she can't resist the pull of a group of double foreigners, so she's come up. So she'll lead meditation and chat to us after meditation. I mean, as we heard this morning, today is Valentine's Day. And I know in some parts of the world it's celebrated. In other parts it's not that significant. But I think it's crept everywhere in the world these days because, well, everything is commercial, isn't it? And it's a good reason to make a little bit of money. But I think as Baba's children, we celebrate it as a day of love. And love is the great power in this life. Would you agree? I remember one thing Daddy said some years ago. She said that the ultimate result of all knowledge is to be completely loving. I think that's wonderful. When you take all the theory and the belief and you express truth in action, we become completely loving. And so many times when Bap Dada comes to meet us, Baba says that all the children pass in one subject. What's that subject? Love. Not difficult. But often then Baba does say that, you know, what is the proof of love? How is love really revealed in my life? And sometimes he says to become equal. Other times he says to love that which the Father loves. The Father loves his task of world transformation. And so we have that love for Baba and that love for service. But many times also Baba mentions that the expression of love for him is to follow what he tells us to do, to follow his directions or his Srimad. And I often mention, because my own experience is that probably for me the most powerful aspect of spiritual knowledge is to have all relationships with one Baba. To me, that's sort of the fast track of spiritual movement in this life. But in saying that, Baba often talks about three main relationships, doesn't he? And I think for spiritual progress, we need these three main relationships. The first, as we know, is from the Father we experience love. And that is my foundation. That's the feeling that gets me moving, have the courage to step onto this path of self-transformation. But for real spiritual progress, love isn't enough. I need learning. And so from the teacher, I develop a relationship with the teacher, which gives me this deep love for learning, a deep love constantly to be exploring newness in my spiritual journey. But actually, even love and learning isn't enough to take the soul to the destination. We need guidance. And that's where I think from the Satguru, that relationship with the Satguru, we develop a love for Baba's directions, not just a blind obedience in a sense of following them, but a deep love for the directions which are going to take me over all the obstacles or challenges I may confront on the journey. And I remember once even that he's saying, and of course in all respects, different respects, we can value a particular relationship, but she once said that the Satguru becomes the most important relationship because that's the companion that's actually going to help me pass through all the phases of this journey to reach my state of completion. And sometimes I've observed in my own Brahman life, some of Baba's children have so much love for Baba, deep love, follow all the principles, but not so much love for the teacher. They don't value the study so much. I love it, I like it, but I don't really have that deep value for the learning. So there's not really that deep recognition of the role of the teacher. I would even say some of Baba's children have a deep love for Baba, and even a love for the study, a love for the Muli, but perhaps not a deep recognition of the value of Baba's directions and perhaps the role of the Satguru. That it's actually this, the Satguru and what he tells us, that's actually going to take us forward. Because sometimes, and recently I've been asking myself, you know, how much do I value Baba Srimat? Because in this world of falsehood and deception, which seems to be becoming more deceiving and more false as time goes on, it's amazing how Baba comes and gives such clarity, children, what is truth and what is false. You know, what is right and according to Baba, what is wrong. He gives us such clarity. And I remember one of the brothers in London. Some of you know him, Julian. Do you know Julian in London? He's in one of the old jewels of London. Julian, who's a jewel. I remember him. He's a diamond merchant, actually, or he deals in jewelry. And he was saying that in the old days when Sakar Baba was alive, they would make artificial diamonds, but they were easy to detect. An expert could detect them in a second. He said the artificial diamonds these days are so good that even the experts can't detect what is artificial. And I think we live in a world today where sometimes we need such a refined perspective through the vision that Baba has given us to really see what is true and what is false. We live in a world where there's numerous opinions and beliefs and ideas. And we need, don't we, such a deep sense of Baba's truth, not to be influenced by those and to understand really where Baba is coming from. And sometimes I love to think that Baba is like a vessel of truth that is permanently untainted, permanently unblemished. Everything else in the universe is influenced by falsehood, except for Baba is the one who remains permanently true. And when he comes and begins to articulate his truth to me, how much do I really value it? Do I really understand where this truth is coming from? And perhaps one of the reasons I've been thinking about it is that I think there's a very strange quirk of human nature, a strange aspect of human nature, and that's familiarity. You know that thing of familiarity? You know, in a relationship, when you meet somebody, sometimes at first you're so touched by this person's qualities, and as you get to know them, what happens? What happens when you become familiar? You can. What actually happens is that sometimes we lose the value of that person which we initially had. We become familiar. We take it for granted. Oh, yeah, that's so and so. And I think in a strange way, even with God's truth and with these directions which come once every so often in eternity to change the world, we can become familiar with truth. We hear it so many times. And when we become familiar, we lose the ability to really value it. Excuse me. We lose that ability to really, you know, sustain the value. And when we don't sustain the value, we become a bit slack. And I think sometimes that the big challenge for long-term Brahmins, even short-term Brahmins, but probably especially long-term Brahmins, many of us here have been with Baba a long time, is that we're on the journey. My heart's with Baba. I love the truth. But sometimes I become familiar and I just become slack in so many aspects, you know, of my own practice. And even valuing the directions that Baba has given me to heal myself and take me to that place I really want to go. And to me, you know, Srimat, I really love because it's like, you know, it's the living code of truth, if we can say. It's a perfect code of truth becoming action, like expressing truth in life. Because otherwise, truth is nebulous, you know. You believe a whole set of concepts, but Srimat is taking it from a belief system, something that touches my heart, and living it, becoming the form of that truth. And I often ask myself, you know, okay, yes, of course, I believe it all. I love it. But how much has it become me? Do I follow it? Or have I become that? Is it who I am? Or is it something that I follow? Because ultimately, I think it seeps so deep into the soul that I become that. Because it's Srimat that will make me pure. It's Srimat that heals the broken soul. It's Srimat that protects me from further sorrow. And I feel it's Srimat that gives me back my self-respect. I have a memory of one of the Australian brothers in the early days. We were meeting Baba. They were the days of personal meetings in Om Shanti Bhavan. And Baba picks up, obviously, everything. And so he gave blessings to this brother. And then he said, "Do you have any questions?" And immediately this brother said, "Yes." And he said, "Baba, how to regain my self-respect?" You know, there's probably two big questions in Brahman life. How to have a connection with Baba and how to regain my self-respect. And your Baba's answer, what would Baba's answer be? Three words: just follow Srimat. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I thought, you can go to the libraries. There's 1 million books with 1,000 pages in all of them. How to follow, you know, how to regain self-respect. God's direction. Just follow Srimat. Now we know in those three words there's so much depth. And yet that had a real impact on me, that when I put myself within the parameters of God's directions, that's going to give me back my self-respect. And it's Srimat that will make me free. It's Srimat that takes me out of all influences and makes me truly free once again. You know, Tolstoy, the Russian philosopher, he once said that the most innate thing in the human spirit is the desire to be free. And I think it's amazing because people see Srimat as this really controlling set of rules and regulations, but ultimately it's this code which frees the soul from all the causes of sorrow and bondages and lets the soul fly. And I feel it's Srimat that gives me all my power back once again. And I think that's, for many of us, I feel that's a big thing, that we do become peaceful, we do become loving, but have I really stepped back into my power where I have the confidence I can go anywhere and not be influenced and affected by all the things happening around me? So it's a big question, you know, how much do I value it and how much do I really follow these directions? Because sometimes I think there's two processes going on inside. One is the process of my intellect. Once I understand something, sometimes I think I follow it. You know how you understand it. So once I understand it and I believe it. But the other process is my mind. And I wonder how much am I still absorbed in my old thinking. You know, my intellect has recognized, but how much am I still sort of completely absorbed in my old thinking, my old perception? I look through a certain filter of my intellect has Baba's knowledge, but my sanskaras and my emotions, that I look through that filter, my old thinking. And yet sometimes I really sit down and I think, Baba, God has come and He's sharing His perspective. He's sharing how He sees eternity, how He sees relationships, how He sees life. He's sharing with us every day His perception and His perspective on everything. And so how much am I really following it? And I don't know what you were thinking last Sunday when we listened to the Avyakta Mauli. Wasn't it an amazing Mauli on Sunday? It was quite powerful. I was in Oxford that morning and it generated quite a bit of discussion. What was Baba saying? You know, this to me, I love it actually, because to me it's like, really, this is God speaking. You know, when you get the strength of that truth, it's confronting in a way. He was saying, you know, if I still see the snake, what's the snake? The body. It's a subtle sin, he was saying. Wow, I mean, that's such an elevated state. And sometimes we think, oh, that's what I believe, so I am that. But actually, am I really following that? I believe that even that one thing is one of the deepest things to learn in this life. Honestly, how clean is my vision? I can remember when I started my journey, I was working in London. And I had a job actually in the theatre in downtown London. And you know, when you learn I'm a soul, you start to walk down the street, you know, you're a soul, you're a soul. You know, that sort of like a little child. But actually, we're just looking at the forehead. I'm just looking at the forehead and imagining the soul there. I'm still quite body conscious, but the truth has entered. And then secondly, I started to visualize the diamond. You know, you can actually see much deeper that the soul is sitting there, but still actually quite from a body conscious state. I'm still in a state of being the conscious of the body, but I'm visualizing the soul. Thirdly, I, the bodiless soul, start to touch you, the bodiless soul. You know, the yoga of the intellect, a very deep practice. I can only see you as a bodiless soul when I'm bodiless. And even fourthly, the incorporeal, seeing the incorporeal encased in the physical. You know, that's like when the soul's absolutely beyond the influence of matter and I feel my nature is incorporeal and I see you as the incorporeal. This is really what Baba's meaning. It's incredibly deep. And I think, you know, how much is this level of understanding where Baba is coming from really within me? Because what does it mean to follow Srimat? What does it really mean? The way I've been thinking recently, it means to put myself under one influence. To put myself completely under one influence in my life. That's not a small thing in my experience. Because when you look at the cycle, in the golden and silver age, that culture, that society was created on the basis of Srimat. In a sense, what we're doing now, each one of us sitting here, our greatest contribution to a new world is to follow the directions of Baba. Because it's like Srimat is the foundation of the way we interact with each other, a whole new society, a whole new culture, a whole new world. And that atmosphere of love and purity and freedom was created by following Srimat last cycle. But when we come to the Copper Age, what happens? I start to put myself under numerous influences. It's like I stepped out of the natural influence of one, of Baba and that vessel of truth. I become influenced by parents, family, we can say society, culture, gurus, teachers, bosses. How many influences are there? And it's like somehow we put ourselves under all these false authorities. And I get to the end of the cycle and everything influences me. Have you ever wondered or thought, you know, how I am so sensitive? Have you ever really wondered how fragile and how delicate the soul can be? We all know that, don't we? The tiniest thing can penetrate my inner world and send it into chaos. A word, an expression, the presence of a certain personality can just influence my complete being. It's like I've bowed down in front of all these authorities and I've given my power away. And that's where, in a sense, this perfect code of one authority, and he's saying, children, if you follow this, if you follow it, not because you think you should, but based on deep understanding, it's like you start to step back into your power once again and your, you know, like your own sense of self-authority. And sometimes, you know, in the Moolis, Baba tells us why Srimat is so important. You know how Baba has the ability to say something so simple but deep? That's what I love. I think truth is both simple and deep at the same time. And Baba sometimes says, children, unless you follow Srimat, you can't imbibe knowledge. Amazing, isn't it? It's almost like only if I follow the whole code will the deep secrets be revealed to me of God's truth. If I follow half of it, maybe it doesn't prepare my intellect to absorb the depth of Baba's knowledge. And I really believe that to be true. It's only when I put myself under the influence that Baba takes me into the depth of his truth to that point. Even another thing that Baba says, that you can only have yoga when you follow Srimat. So simple. How deep is that? How deep is the relationship between thought and action? This is one of the deepest relationships. And over recent years, it's been something I've really reflected on deeply. Most of Baba's children, we sit to meditate, and my mind goes all over the place. You know, it goes here and there and everywhere. And when my mind, my wandering intellect, it becomes a habit, deep down, sometimes I lose the confidence that I can really meditate well. You know? I lose that self-respect that I can really keep my intellect focused. Because the reason is subtle action, subtle behavior, subtle stuff in my relationships disturbs my thinking. And because it disturbs my thinking, I have to process. So I spend my meditation time processing my feelings. You know, trying to work out what is actually going on inside. And that's where I think really probably the most powerful step to deep yoga is to be accurate in action. Meaning, if I follow the directions that Baba gives me in my behavior, in my action, all the subtle things, it frees the soul to go beyond the body. But if I don't, my action keep pulling me back. My thoughts go here, my thoughts go there, my thoughts are pulled to this person, my thoughts are pulled to that person. It's like Srimad protects the soul to enable it, you know, to go beyond the body. This is where this code of truth is so powerful, actually. And yet we know all of us arrive at Baba's door with so many influences, you know, so many subtle influences, because we've been deceived by these for a long time. All the mutts, you know, all the mutts. The pa mutts and the mun mutts and the this mutt and the that mutt, you know. It's a whole list of mutts. But mun mutt. Mun mutt is the directions of my own mind. That's how it's translated. Or maybe the deception of my own mind. And I think it's a really deep thing. Am I still, after many years of a Brahman, lost in my own thinking? In the prison of my own thinking. My own thoughts give me sorrow, but I don't let them go. It's like I'm sort of addicted to perceptions and perspectives. I follow Baba Srimad, I wake up at Amrit Vela, I'm a vegetarian, at all that sort of stuff. But do I really follow the Srimad for the mind, which is really ultimately what these directions are? You know, all these subtle things. Some years ago, Daddy Gulzar gave a wonderful class. She gives so many wonderful classes, but this one stuck in my mind. And she was talking about keeping my mind in the Mariyadas of yoga. And it's almost like the wisdom to realize that when I keep my mind in the parameters that Baba has told us to keep it within, to remember him, to churn the knowledge, to see virtues, to have good wishes, to serve through the mind, you know, all those areas that keeps my mind clean. But sometimes I think we're so absorbed in my own thinking. And even in meditation, I'm driven by my own thinking. You know what I mean? You know how you sit down and because you've got something happening in your life, an issue, I'm just driven. My mind is just driven. Now sometimes we need to work things out and understand. But I've been thinking in the early morning hours, one effort I've been trying to make, rather than sit and let my mind be driven by my own thinking, have a plain intellect. It's like sit in front of Baba and allow Baba to influence me. Otherwise, I'm so locked in my own perception, my own thinking, I don't even try to step and see, well, how does Baba see things? Because Baba's come to share his perspective. And sometimes I think it's like, am I looking through my old filter to perceive and understand reality? Or do I look through the filter that God's given me to understand what is really going on around me? Do I sit and just prepare my intellect sometimes just to sit in a simple way in front of Baba and allow me to absorb what Baba wants? Or am I so driven? Because I think it's a habitual pattern, just driven, trying to analyze what's going on in me and others and things around me. How do I, know that I'm really under the influence of Manmad? It's that my karmic story is really driving me. They're the greatest influence. My karmic story, my emotions, my story. That's really interesting one. Sitting in the memory track is my story of this life. Every little detail. How I've been treated. What's happened to me. And sometimes I think the mind is so absorbed in this story that I can't really listen to the new story that Baba's giving me. The hurt sometimes and the what's happened and even what is happening to me. That sort of, we have to unravel it, but I don't think we need to spend such a long time. It's like that is influencing me rather than really stepping in to think, well, how, if I can use the language, does God think? How does God see things? Have I really adopted that world? Am I adopting his directions? Because, we are individuals. We will think in a certain way, but the thinking should be ultimately based on Baba's truth and not on my old story. Because that takes me into a different place. And that, my opinion, my idea, even that, where did it lead me in the past? Have I really, really looked to God's opinions, if I can say that, God's ideas? And are they the biggest influence in my life? One of the things which I really enjoyed over the recent years was the little touchstone that Baba gave us to check my ego. And he said, the way ego is manifesting these days is just with the thought, I am right. How deep is that thought? The way I perceive things is right. Can't you understand? It's like, can't you see that the way I'm thinking, how deep is it? Can I even step away to really put myself under that influence? Because the power of my past story and my past thinking often doesn't enable me to step into how Baba's suggesting to manage my mind. Even the influence of Parmat, the influence of others. I remember when I became a BK, my biggest realization at the beginning was how I judged myself through the eyes of others. I saw myself through others' vision. And that was more influential than my own vision on myself, You know how that's the power of the influence of others. It's such a powerful thing. And I don't think we can underestimate how we subtly absorb the shadow of other souls around us. And I remember in those early days, I had a job in London, in central London. I was working in a vegetarian restaurant, which is still there, which is amazing, nearly 40 years later. And I can remember one day, it was in winter, most of the staff were sick. I'd been there for 1 week and there was only two of us on. And anyway, there was a long queue and we were trying to make sandwiches and things like that. And there was one man, he was about 5 or 6 back in the queue, and I could feel his anger, you know. And as he got closer and closer, I could feel it coming into me, you know. You know how you feel it in your stomach. I could feel myself, and I realized how vulnerable I was, just absorbing someone else's story into my inner world and letting it take over. I just realized how absolutely vulnerable I was. And yet after so many years with Baba, I think still, whenever I'm attracted, whenever I'm impressed, when I become even a little bit attached, what am I doing? I'm taking the shadow of another soul's sanskara, another soul's part. That shadow is over me. And really, Baba's shadow or Baba's light can't come through. It can be such a subtle thing. It's why I feel the ultimate power in knowledge is to have all relationships with one. But when I love Baba, I am Baba's, I follow the principles, but I retain, even in subtle ways, dependent relationships. When I dip into that pool in my sanskaras, what am I doing? I'm sustaining body consciousness. It's like I want to become pure. I love Baba, but I'm keeping that part of my story alive. And that's where I think, you know, to really put myself under the Baba's influence completely. And sometimes some Brahmins feel that someone in the family is suppressing me, you know. I feel suppressed by a certain personality. Or, you know, actually, no one can suppress me if I allow another person, you know, to suppress me. Or I become submissive. I become submissive to somebody else, you know. That old wanting to please people, wanting, because I lack self-respect, your approval, so I become submissive. And sometimes even another Brahmin can be more influential than Baba. That Brahmin, and it's so subtle, we don't even realize the shadow is sitting over me, and it affects my yoga, it affects my joy in this life. It can be such a subtle thing. Because ultimately, Srimat is putting myself under one influence, taking myself out of my old personal influence, my old story, taking myself away from the influence of others while I love them and respect them. Even if they're a senior BK, we love them and respect them, but ultimately it's God's influence, isn't it, that is going to really give the power back to the soul. So many influences can be there. And when I look at what Baba is teaching, these directions for each aspect of our life, there is directions. You know, when I first started Dadra and Nankishore, who met Dadra and Nankishore, can I ask? Just a few of us, yeah, it's amazing. He's up there somewhere, but he was Baba's, married to Baba's niece, I think. Is that right? Something like that. Not very good on all these things. But he taught us how to study the Muli, I remember. And he said, if you really want to study, take each aspect of the Muli and create a book. So a book on the Golden Age. Write down everything Baba says, a book on the soul, a book on God, a book on God not being omnipresent. A whole lot of books we had. But there was one on Srimat, and we used to divide all the Muli into these different subjects. I did it for a little while. But I was amazed what Baba said on all these things. But Baba gives directions for the mind, for the feelings, for attitude, for action, for food, for family, Lokic family, for Brahman family, for work, for timetables, so many directions from that vessel that retains eternal truth. How much do I really absorb them? And what I've seen, there's three main areas. The first are directions for lifestyle. And the Baba says, wake up at Amrit Vela, you know, be a vegetarian, have good company. When I follow that level of direction, it begins to free me from further bad karma. The first thing of Srimat, it frees me from taking myself further into the game of karmic debt. And that's why the first step of Srimat is so important. It frees me from further bad karma. The second level of Srimat is sort of attitudinal, where Baba says, children, see the other as a soul. See virtues. Give respect. Have good wishes. You know, all that sort of stuff. And what I think, that level of Srimat frees me from the habit, the addiction of accepting sorrow, of taking sorrow. You know, sometimes I mention that most of us have a PhD in accepting sorrow. We're experts. We've really got a refined, down to a really refined art of how to be hurt. And if I'm not hurt, I can even find some way to be hurt. You know, we're so good at it. You know, we're addicted to it. And then the third level is Srimat for the consciousness. And this is really the deepest directions. Children, remember only me. Children, forget the body and the relations of the body and remember me alone. It's this level of Srimat that gives the soul back all its power. When I really put myself under the one influence, you know, the amazing response is that actually Baba becomes responsible for me. You know, if I'm doing what he says, even on that sort of subtle level, I'm actually giving the responsibility of my life and I become so light. You know, the soul becomes so light. But, you know, sometimes Srimat is a funny word in the Brahmin family, to be honest, because, you know, it can be interpreted in so many different ways because, you know, sometimes I think some of us follow Srimat in a very religious way. You know, it's very religious. And if I see someone doing something against Srimat, you shouldn't be doing that. You're breaking Srimat. And I don't see that I'm breaking Srimat by telling you that you're breaking Srimat. You know what I mean? We're very religious. We see it like rules and regulations. I think it's a very superficial view, you know. We just see it as a set of rules and regulations, and that's all you have to do is just follow all the rules and regulations. And, you know, sometimes I think some of Baba's children are like spiritual policemen, you know. They're always correcting people, you know, on that sort of superficial level, whereas Srimat is actually give love, accept difference. Allow people to be different, actually. You know, rather than this superficial religious view of Srimat. Or sometimes Srimat is very selective. As we move along in Brahman life, we sort of decide. It's like a menu that I select. Oh, I like that form of Srimat and that part, you know, not my thing, you know. I choose to be a vegetarian, but, you know, I also choose to eat food wherever I want. I'm fully vegetarian. You know. Or I choose to respect some, but I choose not to respect others or the seniors or the yagya, you know. Or I love Baba, I choose to love Baba, but I also choose to have a few sort of special friendships that, you know. So we become quite selective. Unconsciously selective or consciously selective. And yet it's the whole package that really works. It's the whole package that takes me back to where I want to go. Or even sometimes Srimat can be followed in a very rigid, incredibly rigid way through fear. And that's how so much spiritual, religious things have been followed, just through fear. You know, I feel insecure, and if someone doesn't follow Srimat, I feel really threatened. You know, it almost threatens me. Why should I worry? Everyone's different. I love that freedom Baba gives us. When I listen to the Sakamolis, one of the things I love to hear Brahma Baba's story in there, and I feel, you know how Baba says, children are number wise. You know, sometimes I think even Sakha Baba had to really go so deep into that we are all different. We take it on board in a different way, and that's how it is and will always be, and it's okay. You know, rather than when someone doesn't follow something, it almost threatens me or I feel insecure. If I'm secure in what I'm doing, why should I worry what other people are doing? Ultimately, they're listening to the same things as me. It's up to them. Why should I, you know, project my insecurity onto others? Well, sometimes Srimat is followed from the head and not from the heart, you know. I believe it. I know it. But it's not deeply from the heart. It doesn't have much power in my life when it's like that. Because I think that, you know, when I really understand the value of this time, and that Baba is sharing, it's almost like this divine soul has come. We've all lost truth. We've been under the cloud of falsehood. This one soul that's retained truth has come and is saying, this is how I see this. This is how I see that. Have I adopted that perspective, or am I still really absorbed, so deeply absorbed in my own story, my own thinking, or have I really tried to step in and perceive things in the way that Baba sees them? Because I think Srimat is so powerful that if I follow it, I will be happy. I really believe that. Now, I know that's, I mean, constantly, I won't be experiencing sorrow. Srimat protects the soul. It's under Baba's responsibility. It absolutely protects me. Srimat makes the soul free, frees the soul. Srimat gives me my power back and my self-respect. What an incredible vessel. And if I listen to the Sakamolis, I think, what are the three most common things Baba talks about? We all know them so well. There's probably not a muli where Baba doesn't say, children, remember me. Have you ever read a muli when he says, he doesn't say that. Children, be soul conscious. And thirdly, children, follow Srimat. Once again, it's just two words, but the depth of what that really means. And I think it's a great question after all the years with Baba. Have I put myself fully under the one influence which is permanently true, or am I still allowing the influences which deceive me and make me false? And one of the things which has really touched me just recently is that, in a sense, that Baba's direction is only make my foundation on that which always exists. A bit philosophical, on that which is permanent. If I take support on anything that is temporary, anything, a temporary role in service, a relationship, praise, what, you know, all that stuff, anything, it will ultimately deceive me and cause me some upheaval in some form. It's like The one who is eternally true is teaching us, children, just make your foundation on that which always exists. And I remember one thing that Baba defined true love. True love is loving that which always exists. As soon as I love that which is temporary, I will be deeply deceived and ultimately will lead me to sorrow. Srimat takes me into that place of permanence, where I start to base my life on that which is permanent, and I feel quite stable. You know, I really feel stable. So, can you hear what I can hear? I think Daddy's about to join us, and it was suggested I finish about 5 to 7.